Thank you for tuning in to the Royals in Action broadcast today. Your participation means a lot to us. The essence of this program is to educate you on how to apply the Word of God practically to bring about positive outcomes in your daily situations. And joining us for this insightful journey is R.K. Achina.
Now grab your Bibles and go with me to the book of John 16:33. The book of John chapter 16, the verse number 33. Reading from the Amplified Version. John 16:33, I read. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. Amen. I want to talk to you about a subject, living in the shadow of victory. Living in victory shadow. Dwelling in the shade of victory. Making your home in victory shadow. Resting in the shadow of victory is what the Lord wants us to explore today. What do I mean by shadow of victory? Now, I know some people don't even acknowledge the significance of a shadow. They don't even respect their own shadow, so to speak. As long as their shadow is not giving them any direct benefits like money or food, then what's the point of a shadow? Shadow is probably not necessary, not important. You know what I mean? But let me tell you, when you are out there in that blazing sun, feeling like you're about to be turned into a walking barbecue, guess what you're going to need? That's right, some shade. But if you look around and can't find any umbrellas to buy, you can't find any roof to hide under, then you're going to need the cool shadows of a tree, right? And I bet you'd sell your shoes just to experience that delightful shadow, wouldn't you? I'm pretty sure you would. Shadow is very essential. I think many of us have really underestimated the true potential, the true essence of a shadow. I believe shadows are so essential that I think it can save a life. In fact, it can save your life, to be precise. Now, just imagine you are awake in the middle of the night and you hear these strange noises. It's not a cat. It's not the wind. And of course, it's not the neighbor. So you peek into the darkness and you see this shadow moving across the wall. Now, that shadow right there is telling you a story. It's telling you that there is an uninvited guest doing the moonwalk in your living room. It's like a shadow is like having your own personal spy camera. And with this intel, you have two options, right? Either to tiptoe to your phone to call the police, or find the perfect hiding spot until the coast is clear. Do you see what a shadow can do? I'm telling you, without shadows, we would be blind to the potential dangers hiding in the darkness. If a tall building is about to collapse, the shadow is what stretches out first, providing you with a crucial warning that disaster is imminent. And if you are alert to this looming shadow without getting distracted by your smartphone, you will have enough time to escape before the building collapses on you. Isn't this a lifesaver? fairly certain it is. Beloved, don't you feel a sense of comfort and protection when you notice that your own shadow is faithfully following you? Don't you feel anything like that? Doesn't it serve as a reminder that our God is always by your side every single step of the way? Think about it. Your shadow is always present with you in times when you are broke, in times when you are broke and sick at the same time, in times when you are heartbroken, times when you can't afford that tuition, times when you lost that loved one, times when your rent was due, times when you got that divorce, your shadow always showed up. Doesn't that remind you of Jehovah Nissi? Because my Bible says in Psalms 121 verse 5, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Hallelujah. Now, all these examples I have shared with you are to help you understand that living in the shadow of victory means living in the what is to come. It means abiding in a victory that is sure to come, but hasn't come yet. Does it make sense? I mean, if you take cover in a war and your enemy is approaching fast, you see his shadow first before seeing the real person, right? Exactly. Living in victory's shadow works the same way. It means I know that I am sick, all right, but I'm healed. Regardless of how I feel, I probably feel weak right now. My skin is pale. I lack appetite. The symptoms are really kicking in, but I still call myself healed. That is living in victory's shadow. That is living in the what is to come, though it isn't here yet. Now, don't get confused. The shadow here isn't the sickness. No. That's not what we're talking about. The shadow here is the seed of the yet to come healing. That's what is not real yet. So that's the shadow. The healing is the victory, which in this case hasn't come yet. But you are living as though the victory is already here. It's just like a farmer leaping for joy over a bumper harvest that is yet to materialize in the next 6 months. Some people call this unreasonable, but we call it faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So the main text in John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulations and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. Amen. Now watch this carefully. The phrase, for I have overcome the world, it implies that Jesus has deprived the world of the power to harm us and has conquered it for us. Oh, you don't get it. Do you know what this means? This means there's no justification for a believer to be defeated. Oh, you didn't hear me. This means there's no justification for us being defeated. It means a believer, tongue-speaking, born-again Christian is not wide for defeat. It means we have no excuse for being defeated. It means we cannot lose. It means we can be afflicted in every way, but we will not be crushed. It means we can be perplexed by spiritual attacks, injustices, tragedies, but goodness me, we will not be overcome by despair. It means we can be persecuted, but our God will never forsake us. Oh devil, oh joblessness, oh pain, oh poverty, you can strike us down, but we will never be destroyed, because there is no justification for us to fail. You can be throwing those punches at us, the uppercuts, the quick jabs, the knockouts, but we will still stand up and keep our head in the game. The game isn't over until the last bell rings. You might get ahead 2 or 3 rounds, but that doesn't mean you've won the match, because God is the referee and He has the final say. You're gonna knock us out, but we're gonna get back up. God will never count a premature celebration as a real win. So we're gonna keep our gloves up, we're gonna keep swinging, and let God do the counting, because there's no justification for us to lose. Oh, somebody, you don't get it. I don't know what you're going through, somebody. I don't know the battle you're facing right now. I don't know about the uncertainties, the opposition, or the disappointment, or the mess you are in right now. What I do know is that God is telling you right now that there is no justification for you to fail. No justification for you to lose. He has already overcome that marriage problem for you. It cannot harm you. He has overcome those delays for you. He has already overcome that pain in your heart. He has already scratched off that financial failure for you. So it will not harm you. Because my Bible says, the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight against your enemies, to give you the victory. You don't get it. And that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what's better? There is justification for the very problem you are going through right now. There is justification for them being defeated. It's right there in your Bible. Your Bible is like your spiritual rights book. Mm-hmm. You know the human rights book, in there we have rights like you can't harm children, you can't physically abuse women, you can't discriminate, you can't subject anyone to cruelty, right? You can't do this, you can't do that. Your Bible is just like that. It's full of your rights as a believer. And there's one right in the book of Matthew, Article 10, subsection 1b. It says, you've been given authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every sickness. That's your right right there. That's the justification right there. It means if you're sick, you can lay your hands on your head and claim this right. That devil, I exercise my authority over you and your works, and therefore I command this infirmity to leave and never return in Jesus' name. That's the justification. That's your right. And if your husband has transformed into someone you barely recognize lately, you know, coming home late, giving excuses, picking up a drink or 2 or 3, well, maybe it's about time to get your man back on track by laying your hands on his head and exercising your right, somebody. You see, in your spiritual rights book called the Bible, there is justification for every nuisance, every challenge, every trouble you're going through right now. That these have already been defeated. That you have authority over them. That once you exercise authority over them, they must flee, they must disappear, they must vanish. Pastor, please pray for me. Anytime I sleep, a strange man comes to sleep with me. And any man who promised to marry me always disappoints me. And this has been happening, Pastor, for about 6+ years now. I am scared and I'm tired, Pastor. These are demonic forces. These are powers that stem from the pit of hell. And guess what? There is justification for those as well. When you read Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them by the cross. In other words, that spiritual marriage has no power over the believer. It means believers are spiritually protected and unaffected by incubus, succubus, or any imaginary demon or evil spirit out there. It can't work in your life. It can't work in a believer's life. It is impossible to exist in a born-again, spirit-filled Christian's life. Jesus says he has disarmed all the powers for us. So if they shoot arrows of recurring disappointments at you, it is rendered useless. It can't even leave a single mark on you. It has no effect on you, because the powers are disarmed. Disarmed means neutralized. It means void. It means deactivated. It means inoperable. It means useless. Useless. It's just like a baby playing with a toothless snake. It can never harm it. It's just like a man playing with a disarmed bomb. It can never destroy him. It's just like a bird flying in an open cage. It can never be trapped. The reason why the devil is afflicting you is because you haven't realized he's toothless. And even if you know or heard he's toothless, you probably don't believe he's toothless. You know? If I want to have a little fun with you, I would actually place a disarmed bomb right outside your door, and I'll hook it to a loudspeaker so you can hear every single beep as it ticks away. So just picture it. You are inside, minding your own business, and all of a sudden you hear that sound. Beep, beep, beep. Now, chances are you'll be so scared that you'd lock yourself tight in your room and get some cover, right? Now take a guess at what I just did to you. You're right. I just made you a prisoner in your own room. You can't go out to get some food. You can't go out to get some water. You can't even enjoy your favorite shows. You can't sleep. You can't even go out to pee. You're just feeling a sense of fear, thinking any minute now, boom, it's over. And guess what? You can possibly die if I keep up with this prank for 5 days. You can possibly die of starvation if I keep this plan for 5 days. And all I needed to kick this off was just a harmless fake bomb and a loudspeaker to amplify that beep, beep, beep sound. All I had to do was just set the stage and let your fear and ignorance do the rest for me. Amen. That's what the devil does, actually. He just sets the stage and lets your fear and ignorance do the rest. You know, the devil's victories over your life have primarily resulted from his ability to manipulate you into causing harm to yourself. That's the trick he has. The Bible says he's been stripped of his powers, right? So the only way to harm you is to make you harm yourself. He just sets you up right here in your head and unleashes your own fear and ignorance against you. Hey, nobody loves you, he says. Can't you see what's happening? No man wants to marry you. No man wants to be no man wants to be with a wretch like you. You're not even beautiful, he says. That's his way of getting your attention, making you question your worth, your value, your dignity. Soon enough, you start crying until your eyes get so red, like you've been chopping onions all day. You start thinking, maybe I'm really unlovable. And then self-pity kicks in. And that self-pity turns into shame. And shame turns into deep self-hatred. So you start isolating yourself to avoid rejection and build walls around your heart. And voila, there you are, in your own little prison, wondering if life is worth living. Today, God is telling you the truth, that no principalities or powers can harm you. It's your birthright. It's stipulated in God's constitution that the enemy cannot touch you. You are like Mount Sinai. You cannot be touched. Exodus 19:12 says, whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. You are like Mount Sinai. You are like a live wire that cannot be touched. If they touch you, it will shock them. Jesus has stripped them of their powers and made a public spectacle of them. So if the devil keeps interfering with your marriage, if the devil keeps interfering with your business, your health, your finances, your happiness, your joy, then it means you believe his lies. It means you believe that a fake harmless bomb can really destroy you. It means you can't move past that door and enjoy a happy life. It means Jesus is lying. He hasn't really disarmed principalities and the powers of darkness. It means the whole Bible is a joke, a total deception. Because if you believe your date of birth is true, then you better believe the Bible is true. And if your Bible is true, then it means Jesus is true. And if Jesus is true, then it's definitely true that he has indeed disarmed all principalities and powers for you. Oh! And if you believe that he has actually disarmed that sickness for you, if he has indeed destroyed that addiction, that cycle of failure, those generational curses, that pain, then from now on, you must start speaking to that situation, that mountain, that problem, that it is not real. Tell that sickness, it is not real. Tell that unemployment, it is not real. Tell that barrenness, it is not real. Tell that fake bomb, it is not real. The Bible says, you are not real. So I'm opening this door, I'm moving past you to enjoy my freedom. I'm moving past you to grab a bite to eat. I'm moving past you to get some fresh air. I'm not gonna sit here and cry all day long, terrified to death and assuming you're gonna kill me. I know the truth now. Jesus says you are powerless. Jesus says you can't harm me. My spiritual right says you cannot exist in my life. Therefore, I command you to leave and never return in Jesus' name. I choose to believe Jesus over this problem. I choose to believe my Bible over this sickness. I cannot have this sickness because Jesus has overcome it for me. There's no justification for me to forsake. There's no justification for me to die an early death. There's no justification for me to be poor. There's no justification for me to be barren. There's no justification for me to lack anything. For my Bible says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this enlightening journey today. Before we wrap up, subscribe to our podcast so you're kept in the loop about our next amazing episodes. To join our community or support our ministry, click the link in the description or visit royalsinaction.org. Until next time, Royals in Action is here to remind you to embrace your destiny as a chosen channel of God's royalty. God bless you.